I'm Brian McCreath at Symphony Hall, and I'm with Ian Bostridge, who is here in Boston to sing Winterreise with Thomas Addis for the Celebrity Series and for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Bostridge, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk with me today.
Nice to be here.
I'm so thrilled to be able to talk with you because I loved the book that you wrote that came out last year, and I so appreciate everything you did for that. We'll talk some about that book in a couple of minutes, but first I'm very interested, now that Winterreise has been part of your life for over 30 years, I wonder how your relationship to the song cycle has changed over those three decades.
It's one of those things that's difficult to say because it's interesting. The piece has one of the songs is a meditation on aging, Der Greise Kopf, and like aging, one's relationship with a piece is sort of imperceptible if one performs it that much. I suppose I get a sense of it if I occasionally catch, as I do in some radio interviews, old performances and think, oh gosh, that was quite good, and what I hear now I hate. And you sort of always hate what you're doing at the time. One way, there are sort of two romantic, with a big R, ways of thinking, I think, of the shift. One is the shift between what the poet, the German poet Schiller, called the naive and the sentimental. So you move from not sentimental in the way we think of it, but from a sort of straightforward view to a sort of more reflective view, where you sort of ponder what exactly it is you're doing and why you're doing it, and through it, and the music in a sense then becomes about itself up to a point. Or the Blake's ideas of innocence and experience, and I suppose as you get older you accumulate more experience, so the piece expresses more of that.
And you've performed it, collaborated with many pianists over the years, and I wonder what big picture kinds of things have you learned from those pianists that have brought you to places you didn't expect to go with Winterreise?
I don't know if I've gone to places I didn't expect to go, but it certainly makes an enormous difference, and it's always refreshing and renewing. I'm performing it here in Boston with Thomas Addis, the composer, who's a dear friend as well, and he just finds extraordinary things in the score. I mean, I suppose when I started performing the piece, I was so focused on the vocal line. I mean, I heard the piano, but I didn't listen to the piano with the same depth of attention, and Tom finds extraordinary differences every time we perform it, has found interesting things in the manuscript, which were clearly intended by Schubert and then edited out by the publisher and haven't necessarily always been picked up in the critical editions in a decent way. Also more and more links between the songs, because when you're first presented with the piece, you think, oh, this is just 24 songs stuck together. But Tom is endlessly finding ways in which the motivic material is sort of reflected and refracted and turned upside down. And there are such incredible links between all the songs. I mean, there are obvious ones which I've heard myself between the fourth song, Erstarrung, and the fifth song, the very famous Der Lindenbaum, in that the figure of the sort of rushing figure of him scurrying through the snow turns into the rustling of the leaves. That's sort of obvious, but there are much more subtle things that Tom has alerted me to.
And it's one of the reasons we love it when Tom comes to town, because when he works with the BSO, that what we find in the relationships of music, one piece to another, are just extraordinary. He finds so much that's so illuminating. You also mentioned in your book the fact that, for like so many people, maybe one of the first of Schubert's leader that you really were able to grapple with was Der Erlkönig. And I wonder, what fascinates me about that piece, and I think many people, is the shifts of character and the way that the performer must reflect all of those. And I wonder if there's a moment in Winterreise that's similar that you could point to, where almost on a dime you have to change everything about what it is you're doing, the character of your voice. Does that exist in this piece as well?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, as it were, character at the center of the piece, who is sort of, I suppose, so often a version of oneself, but heightened and dramatized, is a very, almost, I don't want to say bipolar, because that's a psychiatric diagnosis, but he's very up and down, and he does, his mood changes on a penny.
Are any of those moments, are they more difficult in one place than for another, or after 30 years, do these things come so naturally to you?
I think they just come naturally, and what's great about this piece is when you know it so well, it's a sort of improvisation, and we don't rehearse very much, having done it so many times together, and so it emerges differently on each occasion, and we listen to each other, and it's great. It's like, it's obviously not like doing jazz, but it's got an improvisational quality to it.
The collaboration, as we were just talking about, with Thomas Addis in this case, and with many other pianists in the past, Does that collaboration work within Winterreise more or less the same way it works throughout Schubert's Lieder as a whole? Or are there particular challenges or qualities to the collaboration in this piece that distinguish it from the other pieces?
This is a piece I've done with many different people, and I suppose it has, the thing is that it does have its own structure. I very often do collections of songs which I put together myself, and then it involves more sort of negotiation, I suppose, because I have a very particular reason for putting particular songs together, and they, to me, they work in a particular way. Whereas with Winterreise, I suppose there's more flexibility.
And I would imagine that rather than a set of Lieder that might come from this or that place, that the cohesiveness, the narrative of Winterreise might make it something that is open to many more ways of doing it. Is that accurate?
I think that's true. But it's also a great influence on the way, if you put together, as I like to do. I mean, I've got about five Schubert evenings that I've done, mainly with Julia Strait, but also with some other pianists after that. And Schubert's Winterreise is a great model for how to put together a whole evening of song in terms of contrast of tempo and key and such like.
You've been to Schubert's birthplace, I would imagine.
Yes, but more interesting is for me is where he was born. There's no real connection, but in Vienna, quite near where Freud lived. What I find particularly interesting is the place where he died, because the whole setup of the staircase and the courtyard is, I think, pretty much what it was when he was there. So that has a very strong atmosphere for me. And to think of him sort of undergoing this horrible treatment for syphilis while in one of those apartments, and to think of him walking up those stairs, and to think of him writing Winterreise and correcting the proofs of Winterreise on his deathbed, and reading The Last of the Mohicans by Fenimore Cooper.
Was he actually reading that at the time?
Yeah, he was reading. He was reading as much Fenimore Cooper while he was dying as he could get his hands on. And he wrote to his friend Schauber saying, "Can you please get me some more Fenimore Cooper?" So he obviously needed distraction.
That's fascinating. And being there in that space clearly connects you to the time. Do you feel like Winterreise is something that really is of a creation of its time, or is it a thing that could have happened at any time, even if the musical language might be different?
I think it's like so many great works of art. It's a sort of lens that focuses so much from the past and then projects it into the future. So in my book, I'm looking at its forerunners and its influences, and then at what was actually happening at the time, and then why it might be of relevance to us now. And it's, I think all great works of art are like that.
I love the book. I think it's just such a wonderful way to spend time on one's own, because it's so immersive. And I'm very curious to hear what other reactions people have given you to this book.
On the whole, positive. I mean, my worry about it is that it's an odd book, because it doesn't, I mean, there's a wonderful musicologist called Susan Ewens who has written a sort of a guide, as it were, to Winterreise and gone through each song. And that had been done, and I didn't want to do that. So, and what I've done is often gone off at a tangent, and it's not always clear. People say to me, how has this influenced your performance of the piece? And I can only say sort of subliminally, because sometimes it's the piece is being used to talk about something else that's interesting. But I do think that that context and layers are always very helpful in just informing what you do with something as a performer.
Yeah, well, and actually that's what I love about it. It's not a guide, so much a straightforward guide to the cycle. It's something that brings in so much else that about culture and history and physics and science, everything. You mentioned before the kind of quality of the character we're hearing from in Winterreise, and you talked a little bit about how your own relationship to the piece has changed. Do you hear the narrator of Winterreise being of a particular age, and has that changed as you yourself have grown beyond the age that Schubert was and into the age we are now?
In terms of my own age, I think it's quite universal in terms of, I mean, I sang it when I was 20 years old and I sing it at 51, and I think it works for both. It's just different. I mean, a lot of singers think, I mean, I remember Peter Peers and Benjamin Britten saying this is old man's music, and that I don't see that, but it doesn't mean old. I think there are great performances by old people. It's one of those pieces you can live with through your whole life. And in terms of the age of, I think it's one always sings as an inhabitant or a dweller in one's own age, really, however much one learns about the past. And I wouldn't want to try and sing it in a 19th century way, what I'd want to do is try and capture the same impact it had in when it was first written, which means making, you know, when Schubert's friends first heard it, it made them feel very uncomfortable. And I think one of the problems in classical music is we're so familiar with it that it becomes very, very a sort of comforting warm bath of sort of balanced music. And it's not, it's crazy music, and we need to keep in touch with that.
Ian Bostridge, thanks so much for your time and for talking about Winterreise with me today.
Thanks very much.